Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers. Welcome, everyone, to our second Minds.com in-house World Indie Music Showcase. Rerouting the transmission from out of international waters, once again, we're streaming live today from the Howling Wolf Inn. I'm your host, as always, the Robin Hood's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder. Regular listeners will remember we launched our first feature showcase back in October of last year with Pirate Radio Podcast episode number 35. Artists included Winnipeg's Elusive Mind, Owen Scott, Joseph Sapardo, Alexandria Heather, Piratas de Dios, Kid Coleman, and Angel Espino. Shaking things up a little, we've mostly got a fresh lineup this time around. If you've yet to have your music featured and would like to be part of a future project, be sure to drop by WPRPN.com or send us an email via PirateOneRadio@ProtonMail.com. In addition to demonstrating a little decent original talent, the only other requirement is you take a few minutes to create a social media channel via Minds.com. Wherever they may find themselves scattered out around the world, most indie artists are looking for a little extra boost. Here at Pirate Radio Podcasts, we're hoping we can do what we can to maybe help them achieve the wider exposure they deserve, and in some small way, make their dreams come true. Far from your typical run-of-the-mill singer-songwriter, Sean Pollock's wildly exciting interpretation of the blues fuses the sounds of traditional artists with today's more modern influences and original inspiration. Remaining true to his roots, Pollock seamlessly blends his own innovative style of blues with that from the ghosts of the past. Hearing his music, you'll find anything from howling Louisiana harp to big brass Chicago horns, fierce Texas twang to soulful heart-wrenching ballads, while all topped off, of course, with some serious ass-kicking Canadian rock and roll. Sean's music has been featured on the House of Blues radio network, as well as managing to receive airplay in Europe, Canada, the U.S., and Australia. Charting on the Canadian Roots Music Report, after today's show, he can also now boast to having his tunes heard courtesy of the Robin Hood. From his groundbreaking 2011 release, Never, here's the album's opening cut, Hell Yeah.
Some more, don't want no beer, pass on the wine, right about now, yes, rockstar. Don't want no beer. Pass on the wine. Right about now it's Johnny Walker time. I said yeah. Hell yeah. Don't want no beer. Pass on the wine. Right about now it's Johnny Walker time.
Here we are once again, gathered at the Howling Wolf Inn in Skullport Harbor, working on putting together the Minds In-House World Indie Music Showcase 2.0. We've got Valkyrie here with us today, so that's great that she managed to drop by and add her 2 cents to the mix. We can get her impression, basically, what it is that she thinks about music these days, as well as I'm not sure if she's really into the classics or not, but mostly I was interested in knowing what your thoughts are, Valkyrie, on today's music, music of the ages, this current millennial generation. Any thoughts?
Honestly, anything that's mainstream I dislike because it follows the same 4-beat pattern. So every single song, if you follow the beat, it's the exact same. Which is very good at hypnotizing people into liking the song because it's very repetitive, it's very easy to follow. I dislike it. I actually enjoy Beethoven.
Wow, I don't know if we're going to have much Beethoven on the show today, but maybe that's something we could try to work into the picture next time around. That's interesting, though. Yeah, and that's one of the things about music, too, isn't it? Everyone has their own taste and likes. Well, who knows? Maybe you were a European in some past life during the era of Beethoven and had a chance to listen to some of his music, and it's stuck with you. It's resonated over multiple lifetimes since then and really managed to make an impression. Who knows? Born with cerebral palsy, our next artist is a former London native who spent most of his life wheelchair-bound. Never letting the challenge get in his way, Bobby Style has managed to overcome virtually all obstacles. In an interview with NX Live magazine, Bobby recalls how he first got into music as a drummer at around the age of 5. Guitar and bass followed next when his disability wouldn't allow him to maneuver around a drum kit any longer. During his early teens, Bobby found himself taking on lead vocals with a school band. Performing widely during the 1980s, the charismatic goth frontman, Style, became quite the cult figure for a large, hardcore group of British fans. While influences over the years have included anything from Generation X to Susie and the Banshees, David Bowie, Billy Idol, Depeche Mode, and Nine Inch Nails, Bobby has worked equally as hard to establish his own unique trademark sound. Living in British Columbia, Canada, for well over the past 20 years, Bobby's also been a longtime member of VAMS, Vancouver Adapted Musician Society. Founded in the late 1980s, VAMS works to support and promote musicians with physical disabilities throughout the Metro Vancouver area. In true Robin Hood fashion, Style donates whatever time, talent, and proceeds he can manage from recording, promotions, and sales to help his fellow VAMS-affiliated colleagues. Currently launching his own independent-inspired charity, Bob Friendly aims to help raise money for the construction of disabled-friendly studios all around the world. Talking with Bobby Style here today from out of Vancouver, British Columbia, an old friend of mine actually from back in the day. It's good to reconnect always and have a bit of a conversation with Bobby. Bobby, it's great to talk to you again. How are things going?
Pretty good, Jeffy. I'm at a hospital, no issues. As per usual, couldn't wait to get out. Got straight in the studio, recorded Dark Beauty. That was all put to bed last week. up on SoundCloud if everybody wants to hear it for the new album, Terminal Beauty. I'm actually working on Terminal Beauty, the actual album name track this week, which is sounding pretty good, which is also a preview up, I think. Bloody well should be.
That's what kind of caught my ear, actually. I happened to drop by your Facebook just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and was streaming some of your new tunes, and immediately realized that we had something on our hands, of course, and that it was something that more people needed to hear more about. So, yeah, we'd be happy to do that.
We should have a finished version by the end of next week, so I can shoot you a hot copy at that point. As for the other ones, anything else you hear, just let me know and we'll fire them off to you.
Next, we turn our attention to none other than New Jersey's very own Bruce Spring... Well, close enough. Sal Caruso. Anyone keeping their mind's eye on the daily network stream over the last number of months has seen, and hopefully been able to personally enjoy, at least a few of Sal's mind-blowing self-compositions. Born and raised in Hackensack, New Jersey, Caruso's been playing guitar since his early teens, in one band or another. During the 1980s, his songwriting skills and impressive playing chops found their way onto several tracks coming from independent record labels. These same tracks garnered a fair amount of airplay and climbed to high positions on the indie charts of the era, including massive exposure on New York City's Z100, WHTZ-FM hit radio with Stop Playing With My Heart. Sal has worked with noted New York hip-hop and house music producer Ken Cedar in composing, arranging, performing, and recording acts such as John Camano and other area artists. In recent years, he's teamed up with longtime friend and bass player Emmanuel David to write, arrange, perform, and record original music for the indie film Rush Junkies, a movie about bored and disaffected rich kids who race their souped-up cars around the dusty rural roads of New Jersey. Sal's experience in the trenches of the New York City club and hotspot scene includes performances at the legendary CBGB's on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, as well as taking to the stage at places such as The Bitter End, Snafu, Kenny's Castaways, and many other well-known venues in the New York and New Jersey circuit. A master of many genres, including rock, country, hip-hop, jazz, classical, alternative, punk, pop, and progressive sounds, Sal's musical vocabulary is extensive and formidable. He's now working with his partner David on writing, arranging, and producing Jaded Soul's first, as of yet, untitled album. In the meantime, here's Sal with his great little analog demo version of High on New York.
I met a subterranean pirate in the dungeons of New York, where cargo ships on metal strips bring bodies back and forth. You try to make a million, yeah, you almost go insane. Out on the edge where your life is quick, the vultures scream and pray. Welcome to the big time, where the wheels are lined with gold. Expensive women and shots of bourbon to dealers bought and sold. Everybody's on the high in New York City. Must be the smoke that breathing in. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Better get your tickets while you can. Spoke with a man they call Mr. Joneses, cause he always need a shot. You got a big backyard for his cardboard box on the slopes of Central Park. They got horses in front of the courtyard, brownstone stories touching the skies. Yellow cabs and concrete slabs, a landscape so unkind. Then I see some lonely child and makes me just want to break down and cry. Some people never had a choice, they were just born into this life. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Must be the smoke that breathing in. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Get your tickets while you can. Oh. on the high in New York City. Must be the smoke that breathes. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Better get your tickets while you can. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Must be the smoke that breathes. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Everybody's on a high in New York City. Everybody's on a high in New York. Everybody's on a high in New York City.
Our next performer is renowned Aussie musician, philosopher, and street performing raconteur, Adelaide's one and only pirate prince of the harmonica, Lord Stompy. Collector and curator of archaic and anachronistic music and culture, a highbrow rat bag in charge of a rhythmic, melodious musical blender. In the creative world of this multi-instrumental record producer and gypsy harmonica freak, anything goes, and usually does. Since joining the network a few months ago, Stompy's been doing his best to shake things up over on Minds.com. When he's not busy exposing the hypocrisy and shortcomings of Australia's globalist traders, he's the kind of artist who does all he can to remind us how sometimes music's a little more than just boy meets girl and they fall in love. From Fukushima and the Earth's environment to MGTOW and Pedogate, Stompy's someone who's not afraid to tackle any of the world's hottest issues head on. And what better way to channel your passion than packaging it in the form of an edgy, satirical, thumbing your nose to the crooked powers that be punk protest song. We're talking here, of course, Stompy's now infamous Hurry Up and Die, John, an original composition which, after being released a number of years ago, led to his being actively and openly targeted by Australia's version of the FBI. Why should I try to explain things to you anymore when we can hear it all straight from the horse's mouth? Taking us all now on a bit of a journey back down memory lane, here's a clip from this past January in episode 46 of Pirate Radio Podcasts, where Stompy lets us in on a little more of the backstory. We didn't really get into your music career too much, but if you could just talk a little bit more about your music history, the number of albums and CDs you put out, your performance career, as well as this business with the, you do street busking every day and offer music lessons, mostly for harmonica. I'm not sure what else, but, and ultimately, you know, if you could talk a little bit about this movie soundtrack deal, just kind of tie that all together for us, if you would.
Oh, sure. Well, harmonica is my number one instrument that I'm good at. I'm regarded as one of the best players in Australia. So I am a multi-instrumentalist. I spent my early years in the 90s playing bass and singing in grunge-style bands. You know, Nirvana and all that stuff was very big. So I was in my early 20s trying to be a rock and roll star, which is the kind of thing that seems great when you're in your early 20s. As a lot of those young people, I was in bands that were very talented, but a lot of those younger people don't really have a head for holding their lives together. You know, there's a lot of drinking, quite often a lot of drugs, and a lot of silly ego. So eventually I went solo. I brushed up my skills as an acoustic guitarist somewhat so that I could play solo, get out of being trapped in other people's problems, so as to speak. Up until about 10 years ago, I was touring around a bit as a solo artist. I put out my album called Individuality, Just Say No. So that was an ironic title.
Is that spelled N-O or K-N-O-W?
No, that's spelled N-O. So I put that out at the time of John Howard, who was a very right-wing prime minister. He came out. He'd been running Australia for a long time, and his main claim to fame was fear-mongering. After the 9/11, he really cracked down with this whole dialogue of, you know, we're all going to be invaded, you know, everyone has to be afraid. And that dialogue, of course, began feeding this government softening up of people's resistance to increasing powers to the secret services, increasing powers of public surveillance. It was all for the public good, you see, Jack.
Yeah, sure. Just give up your rights so we can protect them.
Interestingly enough, 9/11 happened not long after there was an incident in Bali where a top Australian tourist destination, it was a hotel. It got blown to smithereens by some Islamic crazy dude. It was one of the hugest, even though it wasn't on Australian soil, literally hundreds of people, Australian people, died. It was a hotel mainly frequented by Australians. So that really played well into the dialogue of fear that the Islamics are now coming to blow up our entire country.
In the midst of all this, what sort of immigration policy was the Howard government embracing? Was it closed doors?
The Howard government ostensibly was quite closed doors back then. They were very much more like Bush Jr. He was very, very closely tied to the same policies, the same mindset. Unfortunately, we were very, very heavily involved under John Howard in the Iraq War. Of course, strategically, that was a terrible thing to do. We were very heavily involved, but because we're such a small country, it was a bad strategic thing from any point of view. It was a bad thing to do humanitarian-wise. We're killing all these people for God knows what, Jaffe. But then, of course, it bred all this backlash against our country overseas. And, you know, you get to the point where you question, are the elites that are running the show actually doing this to deliberately breed a backlash so that they can keep us in fear and can keep pushing through these attacks on civil liberties, on civil rights? What they have here, it was called Operation Echelon. I remember it coming out in the early 90s. Australia was a test case for identifying people's voices, like tapping phones and having a computer program that identified people's voices. This was before mobiles were in more popular use, so it meant that no matter whose phone line you used, if the government wanted to, they could actually get an audio trace of your voice and track you down. Australia, John Howard, that's what we're under. And it ended up blowing up on me a bit. On my first album that I put out back then, Individuality, Just Say No, I put out this very Frank Zappa punk tongue-in-cheek song called Hurry Up and Die, John.
Right. In fact, we've got that queued up here for you, Stompy. And in the meantime, what we'll ask you to do is just get you to mute yourself and then head over to the live chat we have streaming in our YouTube channel. There's a few questions people have there for you. That'll give you a chance to just kind of read comments over and collect your thoughts and think about what it is you'd actually, how you'd like to respond to them when we come back after the tune. But before we do that, let's just quickly head back over to James are up in the crow's nest. I know it's his first time up there. The winds can get pretty blustery and forceful. Got to kind of watch your step. You're not drinking up there, are you, James?
Not too much.
Yeah. How is it there? How do things look from your vantage point?
Everything looks great. The seas look smooth. It's not even choppy at all, honestly. But there's some fog up ahead, so we don't know what lies ahead so far. So keep your eyes open.
Okay, so what we're going to do here then, folks, and thanks for that update, James, well done. We're going to cue up Lord Stompy's tune, Hurry Up and Die, John. This is a song that he wrote independently and just released a few numbers of years ago. Let's give it a quick listen, and then we'll resume the show in just a couple minutes. Enjoy.
Australians, oh, let us rejoice, our future's looking bleak, with golden showers from Johnny Howard, I think we're up shit creek. So proud of you. Climb in the stew of Australia. Short-sighted dwarf at the helm of our ship. Is that an iceberg up ahead? Die, Johnny, die. Fall out your ivory tower. Die, little Johnny, die. Here to the death of Johnny Howard. White liberal racist desires from the humble redneck messiah. Pauline Hanson says you cheat. Stolen bears policies back to 1953 at the one dimensional OC, hiding in conformity, cause change is a scary thing. And die, little Johnny, die. Fall out your ivory tower. Die, Johnny, die. Your mummy will be so proud of you. Climb in the stew of Australia. Short-sighted dwarf at the helm of our ship. The peasants don't mutiny and throw rocks at your ivory tower.
Yeah, this whole business of music these days and where things are at. What's the scene like in Kelowna? Is there much going on as far as a live scene? Is it the... Are there people that are really quite active or that have been around for quite a few years as far as not just performing, but of course recording and sound engineering and, you know, all those sort of things, maybe even working in putting movie soundtracks together, you know, you name it. Have you heard of much, anything along those lines?
For anything to constantly stay in Kelowna, the best you're going to get is the repeat DJ at either Sapphire or the other nightclub. It's kind of dead for the music scene, and anything for audio production, since we have the audio course and the video editing course. All of the jobs are either in Vancouver, Alberta, Ontario, or out of the country. Kelowna doesn't really have much besides really bad attitude and the school.
So no live bands, no venues that provide live musical entertainment outside of, as you say, just, you know, DJs or you know, people playing their canned music. Nothing of the sort.
The closest thing that we can, that me and my friends can find, because we don't enjoy, I think it's called trap music now, or whatever the new dubstep genre it is now, but closest thing we could find was a metal show way outside of Kelowna. And it was a little depressing to be there, because it was a bunch of 18-year-old kids who probably just bought a guitar last week, some kid that was screaming some form of lyrics, and you could tell he was damaging his vocal cords. It was a really bad time. Kelowna's really dying for music, honestly.
Sorry to hear that. Thought things would have been a little more sort of active and lively. Are there not any local or regional festivals that occur on a annual or semi-annual basis. There's a lot of wineries, I think, in the area, that sort of thing, as well as, you know, they have beaches and whatnot. A lot of culture and life and activity that you find in those settings. How about street busking? Or have the authorities done everything they can to crack down on people performing for tourists and whatnot out along the streets and sidewalks, beaches, and that sort of thing?
The closest thing to any sort of festival in Kelowna right now is Center of Gravity. And like I said, again, it's not really any live performances. It's all dubstep again. There was one person that came in, I couldn't even remember their names, but they played a genre of dubstep called drumstep, and they used like an actual drum kit while playing with a loop track. It's really just a grindfest, it's called, where a bunch of teenagers with no time on their hands and money from the parents go there to hook up and do whatever. It's really uncomfortable and scuzzy. There's a few buskers, but kind of the same thing. Can't really play an instrument for the life of them, just trying to get tips. There's one guy called the Downtown Busker. He's a cool guy, but bylaw officers are constantly cracking down on him to the point where they gave him a $500 fine 3 weeks ago.
Well, that's pretty depressing. That's like a skeletal shell. It's a dead husk, I guess, of what things were like in the past in many ways, because I think there was more of a lively sort of night entertainment scene with live music, especially at the bars and the clubs, different venues. So who knows, maybe they'll, who knows what it's going to take. Maybe, you know, a lot of ways, yeah, it sounds like it's really dead from what you're saying, frankly, other than this, you know, people that are into the dubstep. I don't even know what that is. I have a rough idea. It's like bringing maybe like a mini rave brought into a club, and you're out there spinning your records or some sort of electronica enterprise of some sort. Do you want to maybe explain that a little more clearly? How would you describe dubstep?
If you've ever been to a rave, think of the music as switch the tracks to a highly repetitive beat with an occasional drop, a lot of random synthesizing noises, and then it goes back to that very repetitive beat for another minute or so, and then maybe another drop and the song ends. If you kind of want to get a concept of dubstep, because you can't verbally explain it, it's just a bunch of beats smashed together, look up Skrillex, Scary Monsters, and Nice Sprites. It's where it all started, and then as you go through like recommended videos on YouTube, which is where I suggest listening to it, you'll start to see where the original type of dubstep soon transferred into what it is now. What that used to be called was progressive dubstep, and now it's called trap house, I believe. So if you look up Skrillex first and then you go to just a trap house mix, you can see how fast it went from interesting to completely repetitive, same thing over and over and over, every song sounds the same, and it's just a dying genre.
Well, we've got a young up-and-coming artist, someone that's looking to win a little more exposure for themselves. They are, of course, one of the personalities that is out there on Minds.com. I'm not sure how long they've been a part of the network necessarily, but they go by the handle Real Livid. So we're going to be featuring one of their tunes today, and if it's any indication of the direction that he's headed in, you know, there should hopefully, there'll be a lot more good things to hear from the guy. He's actually based out of the States at the present moment in time, but has expressed an interest as well in moving to Canada, emigrating, I suppose, is what you would say. So who knows, things could get to the point, could find himself one day maybe even calling Kelowna home, so we'll just have to see how that all plays out.
I should clarify really quickly that I'm not bashing electronic music in any sense. I really enjoy it. I'm just bashing club scene music, because I know a lot of great electronic artists. I've talked to some YouTubers that make electronic music, and they're really lovely people, and they make great music, and I hope that the person that we're having as a guest for the music tonight, I hope that he's going to bring a new taste to the genre. It's starting to fall apart. it's really nice to enjoy a show where it's not just the same things you hear on the radio all the time. I'm really excited for that.
Regarding himself as just another music producer from out of the vast cosmos and the internet, our next artist is real livid. Whether completely pissed off or just a play on words, we'll have to leave that up to you to decide. One thing that's for certain, however, is that he comes to us courtesy of Minds.com's lovely Mary Pia. Featured on Rage Junkie, Hits 93 Toronto, Basement, Lux Audio, and A Darker Wave, he's currently keen on learning more about Canada, the process of gaining citizenship, and the nation's music industry. Born David Ridge, Real Livid started out on instruments around 13 years ago. The ambiguous stage name and alias came together around 6 years ago, after hearing artists like Square Pusher, Aphex Twin, Boards of Canada, and Deadmau5. Since then, David claims to have oriented his style more toward a purely electronic sound.
Please remain calm. It's only your privacy at stake here.
And I quote, crazy acts and intrusions.
Now, you weren't here for the first go-around when we initially put together our Minds In-House World Indie Music Showcase. A couple of months ago, I think it was episode 35. If people go back and look into the archives, they'll find it there with the talent that we had. We brought on board Joe Separdo from out of New York, We had Pirate Larry, Kid Coleman from out of Canada. Pirate Larry, of course, based out of Baja, Mexico. Have you seen him, by the way? Have you seen him around lately? We're still looking for him. There's a rumor going around that he might have fallen out of the crow's nest. And, you know, that doesn't always end well, of course. Although, another story that's come to the surface and sort of been making the rounds is that he was seen outside either here at the Howling Wolf or maybe over the Scurvy Dog. Could have been the Mossy Wench. Not too clear, but I got caught up in a bit of an altercation. I guess it, you know, there might have been some weapons drawn, knives and cutlasses and all sorts of instruments and implements of of destruction. So it's like a mini kind of mini brawl or some sort of rather, you know, semi-serious altercation. This is all sort of secondhand news, too. What else do these sort of issues have to do with typically but women? So who knows? These are just rumors that are floating and flying around. So, yeah, he had some great music that we featured there on the last show and probably do it again this time around, too, I'd imagine. Have you seen or heard much of Pirate Larry the last little while, or have you heard any of his music?
I have not personally heard any of his music, but I did hear a thud the past few days ago. I thought someone dropped a cannonball. I really hope that wasn't Larry.
Cannonball? What happened?
I was working down in the bottom of the ship, and I heard a thud. I thought someone maybe dropped one of the cannonballs for the cannonry, but I suppose it might have been Larry. I really hope it's not.
The hull of the ship or down in the brigs. Jeez, what, the captain had you scrubbing out the... working down there in the dredges.
Me on mop duty.
I'm sorry, what kind of task were you assigned on that particular day?
You put me on mop duty.
Well, you know, that's the thing that you're just lucky he didn't, you don't have to serve as a powder monkey. A little bit of scrubbing of the deck once in a while isn't so bad. Those life of a powder monkey, though, that can be tough in the heat and pitch of battle. And now, tonight's second-last performer. Currently in exile from reality in the United States of America, Nathan Payne is a singer-songwriter and recovering drunken funeral clown from awesome Rockford, Illinois. Born on Dee Dee Ramone's 22nd birthday, somewhere on Patuxent River Naval Air Station, Nathan often lives inside a horrible dream from which there is no earthly escape. In the words of one fan, his live shows are most closely compared to an Elvis concert, dipped in blood. While his material is on the darker side, it's not without a sense of humor. The Korean KBS broadcast system interviewed Nathan in New York back in 2006, using his song, George Bush, What's Your Problem? As a lead-in to a Dissent in America After 9/11 segment of their show, Culture Zone. A regular guest on KXLU's Demolition, an LA-based radio show hosted by Nathan's buddy, Freddie Kaiko, the station was the first to play anything of his over America's electric airwaves. From the first volume collection of his greatest hits, the song was A Beautiful Place, From All the Diamonds You Can Eat. With a laundry list of influences ranging from Johnny Cash to Nick Cave, the Pogues, Tom Waits, the Ramones, Elvis Presley, and Jack Kerouac, Nathan's broad, eclectic, and diverse discography make it kind of tough to settle on just one tune. Having chalked up close to 20 homemade studio albums, he's been playing live for the past 25 years, living in cars and vans on and off again for 13, even working on the side as a cab driver in Austin for a spell. To save on costs, Nathan's shows are all pretty much subject to change. Straight out of Chuck Berry's rock and roll playbook, Payne doesn't travel with just any one band. With different chapters of his Wild Boars scattered throughout the Southwest, the indie rocker compares it to a motorcycle gang. My dream, says Payne, eventually is to have a bunch of jackets made, an Arizona chapter, a Colorado one, a California one, Every chapter has its own flavor. From his Gospel Songs for Ghosts, Greatest Hits, Volume 2, Sideburns in the Snow, here's Greaser Boy.
There's a girl in my head who dreams that I am dead. Everywhere I turn, she's there to watch me burn. She's yearning for the day when I will finally be destroyed. Baby, I will be your greaser boy. We sold our little house, land moved into a mouse, set off across the sea, but it wasn't meant to be. She was a whiny little witch, and I'm an habitual bitch. But baby, I will be your greaser boy. Cruising in my car down Las Vegas Boulevard, you held my hand and I held all the cards. We're crazy, yeah, we're fools. Our hearts are made of stolen jewels that can never be returned. See how easily they burn, and wouldn't it be nice to be made of? Land have no regrets, so let's please don't fight. It will be alright in the end. It's Amber. Like a broken bird, baby, I've been cured. My crown of snakes is caked with dust. Then in a crass display of trust, you walk right out of the computer screen. You're the cutest little Judas I've ever seen. Baby, I will be your greaser boy. We had it all, my golden go-go doll, but my heart went astray and I threw it all away into the bottom of a well, and I would gladly go to hell. But why should I be scared? I'm already halfway there. Jesus, please have mercy. Don't reimburse me for my sins. Won't you take the wheel? I'm not a whore, I just feel a little sick. My heart is soaring like a brick.
Hard rocking, heavy metal, and power chords. They can do a lot of damage, or a lot of good, too, depending on how you look at it, I suppose, right? It's too bad, though. You actually mentioned to me that you had looked into maybe recruiting a few of your friends or colleagues, people there living in Kelowna, millennial types, I guess, are involved in putting their own music together, and, you know, potentially being a part of today's show, us, you know, here at Pi Radio Podcasts, extending a bit of a helping hand and offering to freely promote them. And what did they say in response to that? What was their reply?
What are we getting in return was the typical response we got, and I explained, well, free promotion, get your name out there, show them the channel. They're like, it's not small enough, you need to be paid for it. None of them have names. The only person I was able to communicate with was a friend from back home. The only problem is, he doesn't have any full songs out yet. Him and his friends have been in a band for a good year or so, and they make really good tracks, but it's never fully complete, so they stepped out. for good reason. They said that it wasn't complete and they weren't ready to show it, so I could understand that. But everyone back here in Kelowna, they wanted payment, they wanted this, they wanted that restriction, they wanted X amount of minutes for them, like taking up almost the majority of the show, and I just couldn't offer what they were demanding. And it's too bad that my friends back home, they didn't have any complete tracks made, because they're really good. I think that they were a bit shy, if anything.
But on the other end of the spectrum, as to what you're sort of illustrating here, these people must be, what, like local superstars, used to total royal treatment, I guess is what it sounds like.
No, they're a bunch of suburban kids that expect everything to be handed to them. They're the epitome of millennials that everyone makes jokes about or get mad at. Like the self-entitlement, me. These are the children. These are the kids.
Yeah. Well, it sounded to me from what you were saying earlier, now, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that they really even were providing free promotion for all of anyone that's, you know, a part of today's presentation. And these kids, these they were demanding that they be paid so that they could be freely promoted. They... Their music is just that great, and they're just, you know, such renowned superstars. Speaking of hard rocking and power chords, we're ending today's show with a tune from Piratas de Dios. Described as a folk metal band in the true bardic tradition, their lives are dedicated to singing songs of the pirates who stole the world. Sadly, however, the group's frontman and former co-host of this very show is now feared lost at sea. A chivalrous rogue and incurable romantic, Pirate Larry O'Donnell was also a major promoter of grassroots artistry throughout the Ensenada, Baja region, and beyond. Well, actually, since no body has to this point washed up on the shore, we're not even sure what tense we should be speaking in. Endlessly shuttling between San Diego and Ensenada, down in Baja, Mexico, Larry has spent a good part of his life working to develop stronger ties within the world of international music, viewing the borders of man as little more than inconvenient and arbitrary mental abstractions. In the event he did indeed plunge from the crow's nest into the sea, or met his fate at the end of an enraged adversary's blade, Larry will likely best be remembered as a dedicated pirate guitar player, poet, and philosopher. A south-of-the-border superstar, happy to cash in on any complimentary media promotion, and even playing for free, once in a while. Courtesy of El Puento Records and 2008's Orphans of the Pirates, this is Espera Mi Alma.
I'm waiting for you. Are you waiting for me? I'm waiting for the soul of the world.
Espero por ti. Tú esperas por mí. Espero el despertar y el alma en el mundo. Espero amor, un chispa de luz pura, espero el despertar y el alma en el mundo.
I'm waiting for the stars to come down from the sky.
Espero que las estrellas bajen del cielo.
I'm waiting for the rivers to run to the mar.
Espero que los ríos corran a mi corazón.
I'm waiting for love, spark of joy.
a tu ser. Ofrécelos, daría todos a ti. Señor, te los daría todos. Solo para liberarte.
Again, does it for another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts, our Second Minds in-house world music indie showcase, episode number 56. A special thanks to Valkyrie of Freedom for riding shotgun tonight, as well as, of course, all the various musicians who donated their time, tunes, and energy into making the show a success. As a reminder, once again, if you've yet to have your music featured and would like to be part of a future project, be sure to drop by WPRPN.com or send us an email via PirateOneRadio@ProtonMail.com. Along with offering a little decent original talent, the only other requirement is you take a few minutes to create your own social media channel via Minds.com. Hopefully next time around, we can also manage to land a few more quality female artists. Might the crew aboard the Robin Hood be a little too crude, smelly, or lacking in booty? Aye, perhaps. Then again, it could simply be the stars were not yet fully aligned. Don't forget, next we've got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up. If you can't join us this time around, be sure to keep an eye out for all of our future shows. Also, if you've been a regular listener, enjoying the weekly content we've been producing for well over the past year, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. For the same price as a cup of coffee, you can help keep the Robin Hood sailing smoothly along each month. Kudos once again to Kelly Freeman for becoming our first official patron, pledging a whole 5 bones per episode. If this is a little too rich for your blood, don't sweat it. All it takes is $1 a week for anyone to win access to our regular behind-the-scenes premium Rogues Gallery content. Coming up next Friday night, Hollywood muckraker Mark Ebner will be joining us to discuss the mysterious death of Kung Fu star David Carradine, all things Scientology, and the truth behind Tinseltown's gay mafia. Shows featuring renowned Canadian ufologist Grant Cameron and an historic revisitation from Minds.com's co-founders Bill and John Ottman will round off April's quality jam-packed schedule. If you yourself have an intriguing guest or story idea, you can once again either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or shoot us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN network domain links are now also available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, bloggers, or pretty much just anyone looking to boost their online visibility and reach. Would you believe they're going for as little as $1 a month? Well, 12 bucks a year might break some people's borderline budgets, it could also easily become one of the best little investments you ever make. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redistributed directly back into supporting various charitable causes. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!